Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm doing everything I can.
Well, do better. Take control. You, do you work here?
Yes, ma'am.
Don't call me ma'am. I'm not an old lady you're bagging groceries for. You are a correctional officer. Your job is to enforce the rules. Do you know what the rules are?
Yes.
Because right now, looking in an arbitrary direction, I see large earrings. I see unapproved makeup. Am I the only one who sees this? Do I have supervision? Am I like the boy in The Sixth Sense who sees infractions no one else sees? Am I in a fucking M. Night Shyamalan movie? Or is that inmate wearing green eyeshadow?
I think it's pronounced Shyamalan. Better get back to work.
Chris Figueroa, everyone wears makeup.
Hey, Hollywood Life podcast listeners, this is Bonnie and I am here. And as you may have guessed, we have, speaking of guests, a guest today from the show Orange is the New Black, Alicia Reiner. Welcome, Alicia.
Thank you so much. I love that you chose a clip that not only shows me as Fig and Orange is the New Black, obviously, but fashion sense as well.
That's right. You were noticing some eyeshadow there. You have a keen fashion sense. And you know, we're so glad to have you here today because you are a woman of many talents and we want to hear all about them. You are doing multiple things. You're an actress, Orange is the New Black. You also are starring in a show, which looks so much fun. It's called Better Things and it just started the second season and right. You play Sunny in that character Sunny, and you are a fashion designer. You've just launched your new collection Lavari, which debuted at New York Fashion Week, yeah, which was just a couple weeks ago. And you listeners can't see Alicia, but she looks stunning. She's wearing some clothing from Lavari. And listen, we all wear clothes. Mm-hmm. We all need clothes. And we all want to look fabulous and as fabulous as you. And so, you know, first of all, doing a collection is really intimidating. Like, I go to New York Fashion Week every season, it's intimidating enough just sitting in the audience, let alone having to put clothes out on the runway in a collection and
totally.
Your first one.
I was just saying to someone today, I always have imposter complex. Like, I always think, what am I? I don't know how to do this, but more than ever, I did around this. And honestly, I did it because for me, it was more of an activist statement, an environmentalist statement. And for me, as an artist, one of the ways we can talk about things that sometimes people don't want to talk about is through art. And fashion is art. And in this moment in time, the environment needs our protection and needs our attention.
These are huge issues going on right now because our current president and his administration are defunding and not taking care of any of those things.
And so, like with the line, it's really about environmentalism. How can we use remnants? How can we use environmentally?
Like remnants of fabric
remnants
and clothing.
Of fabric, things that would have been in landfills.
Bonnie, I was reading a little bit about this line and I learned some things I didn't know. The LA Times did a story on your line and they claim that the fashion industry is the third largest polluter behind agriculture and
oil.
And the oil industry.
Yep. Who would have thought? Really, I never would have thought that.
Yep.
Really shocked by that. And the other fact that stunned me is they say the average American throws out 68 pounds of clothes a year.
Boy, my husband would really like if I threw out 68 pounds worth of clothing every year.
I was going to say, I have that to throw away, but it's all in piles in my closet.
Exactly.
It never gets out the door. Yeah, who I've never thrown out that many clothes.
Well,
I'm big into recycling and also giving them to like Dress
How
for
can
Success.
We give it to charity? Exactly. Yeah.
Let me hit you with this though. I pitch you a hard one. Don't you think that in some ways, fashion and sustainability are inherently in conflict, because fashion is all about what's new,
right?
What's
trying
next.
To get you to so try the new trend.
It's all about disposable. Throw it away. Get something new. You're not going to be fashionable if you're not in something new.
I love that you brought that up because
thanks.
That is that is how it's traditionally seen. And yet, in our focus group, what we learned is a lot of women, me included, my favorite pieces might be 20 years old. I have pieces from college that. If it's a classic and it fits and it makes me feel awesome and it has a great story, it was from my grandma's closet or whatever, I take amazing care of it and I keep it.
Wow.
And
that's what
our goal is to create these pieces that you keep, that they're keepers in your life forever, that it's not fast fashion.
Yeah, the thing about fashion that could be sustainable is that fashion is also, of course, cyclical. But that means that your clothes have to last. And yep. Most clothes do not. All the places now that have brought high fashion to the mainstream, places like H&M, the clothes is complete freaking garbage. And it comes apart on you in the washing machine.
So here's what I'm going to say about that.
You can't keep it till the next it comes back in.
I really believe strongly in not demonizing or like I personally will never say like I don't like their like they
I like
they
H&M.
Do it wrong.
I like H&M,
but I will say that's our goal is to be old school.
Now let's talk about Orange is the New Black, because that was a pretty intense last season. And of course you play a very intense character.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I didn't like you very much for the first couple seasons. It seemed like you played the assistant to the warden. Mm-hmm. And you were very stylish, very
thank you.
Kind of sexy and stylish. But you seemed very out of place because you were in a prison. Mm-hmm. And you didn't seem to have a lot of sympathy for the prisoners. But you've become more likable because we've found out you've got problems in your marriage. Your husband's having an affair with another man. You're having an affair now with another. You forgot that you're having an affair. What's his name? With Caputo.
Yes,
another C. He like helps run the prison.
He's having an affair with somebody else.
And he's having an affair. And then you were negotiating for the prisoners who had a riot last season. So, first of all, like, do you think, does she have any empathy for the prisoners?
I have two things to say about that. One is, I love the way you described the character because it's really the truth of how we see people. And I find it really important to remember when we're meeting anyone, you see that first impression and you think like, oh, they don't care. Or they, you know, and particularly in this moment in time when we go like Republican, Democrat, when we're, the world is so divided in so many ways, I think it's so important that we find ways to find compassion for one another and that we find ways to find similarities and we try and look for how can I relate to this woman? And because you don't know, like she was in pain. You just saw a fancy woman who looked out of place and didn't really care. But then you found out, oh, she has a lot of stuff going on.
I don't know
if I can curse.
I really like this point, and I feel like it's what is beautiful about modern TV. Mm-hmm. I've been kind of calling this the Jamie Lannister effect. Where the first time you meet this man, you hate him, and he's like he's trying to murder a child. But then the more you get to know him, the more you see his reasons and his motivations, and it's kind of like what all actors.
Well, also he evolves as a character.
Yes, and the great thing about TV and modern TV is it gives you time. It's not like movies where you have 90 minutes, you got to pack it in and it's kind of melodrama, where TV lets you see a 360 degree view of a human being.
Right. Well, it just, you see that the person who you thought was just evil, mm-hmm. and because also Fig was embezzling, wasn't she? She was actually taking money away from the prisoners.
I wouldn't necessarily admit to that, but yes, maybe.
It kind of looked like that.
Yeah.
But then it turns out that you're maybe doing it because you're trying to save your marriage and you're compromised. And so you're really like a wounded character, we find out.
And aren't we all the walking wounded, you know? And I just wrapped this movie with Christina Hendricks and Anna Camp. The working title is Ag, and I will say it's interesting because we're just doing test screenings right now, and these complicated characters are people love and hate, and it's really beautiful when you can present them in a way that people then relate to them.
So I want to hear more about Egg, but just going back to Orange is the New Black, yeah. And your character, when you started it, did you know that she was going to be that complex? Oh, you didn't even know she was going to be complex like this.
So I originally auditioned for Alex, and then I didn't get it, and I was heartbroken. And then they offered me Fig, and it was only three lines, and that's all I knew. I knew the first three lines, basically, like, "Hi, I'm Natalie Figueroa, and if you need anything, just ask." Like, right. That's all I knew.
Ask, but don't ask.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you feel like having now kind of worked in a prison for six years, do you, first of all, do you feel that it's a realistic depiction of life in prison for women?
I don't think I have the acumen to answer that, really. When I was researching the role, I did in fact visit some prisons, but that was a very limited exposure. And I've spoken to women who have been in prison through my volunteer work with the Women's Prison Association, but I don't think I can really authentically speak to what life in prison is like. And I don't know that they're trying to have a deeply realistic portrayal. It's not a documentary. I think they're trying to shed light on certain issues in both a dramatic and comedic and entertaining way so that you're drawn into it, so that you relate to it on an emotional level and a personal level. But that also it's funny sometimes, and sometimes, yeah, I think it's based in reality. I know they do a lot of research, you know, for example, the corporate prison system and Linda from HR and the whole MMC thing, is based on truth, you know, how prison has become a business and the inappropriateness of that, in my personal opinion, where that's taken advantage of and where that takes advantage of prisoners, is something to discuss.
Well, I think one thing that's amazing about the show is that, again, it takes characters who you might, if you didn't know or you just heard about women in prison, you're thinking, oh, these are all terrible people. They're all hardened people. Again, they're evil. They're in prison. And it makes you realize that they're multidimensional, that there's reasons that they're there, that whether it's mental illness or, you know, they've made bad decisions or they've fallen through the cracks, and that they're people that deserve some empathy.
You know, I've just joined the board of a nonprofit called Still She Rise, which is all about protecting women who are mothers in prison in Oklahoma, because Tulsa, Oklahoma has the highest number of mothers in prison than anywhere else in the country. And it's an extraordinary amount. And in many cases, these women are really unfairly imprisoned. In some cases, they've just gotten too many parking tickets.
Right, and then they couldn't afford to pay the fees.
They couldn't afford to pay them.
Right.
And then they're pulled from their children and put in prison simply because they couldn't afford this.
Right.
Now, that's not right, in my opinion.
Well, it also ends up costing society a lot more, because who's taking care of the kids?
Completely. But and then that money goes into the pockets of, you know, the business of prisons.
Right. And of course, we're looking at an administration that wants to put more people behind bars again.
Yeah, because it's a business.
Yeah. Well, and they want to privatize. They're even talking about privatizing more prisons. Now, is that prison, do any of the babies or children stay in the prison, the one that you're involved with?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't understand.
Well, the one you said in Oklahoma.
Yes, Still She Rise is all about actually getting lawyers to help get these women out.
So that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Do you think you'd ever would have gotten involved with an organization for women in prison if you hadn't been involved in Orange is the New Black?
It's funny. Two of my friends created a piece called The Exonerated, Eric and Jessica, who I bow to. And I admired them before they were my friends. Like, I saw it and I was like, oh my God, they are the coolest people. And then they became my friends. And I have always felt like our prison system was so inappropriate and so unfair, to be very, you know, simple about it. And I didn't feel like I had a voice about it. Like, who am I to, like, who am I to say anything about this? And then I got Orange and I was like, oh, I guess I have a voice about this now. I guess I don't have a choice but to have a voice about it.
No, very true.
And then I got involved with Women's Prison Association and I've done a lot of work with them. And, you know, I'm talking to them about Levari and how can we use, you know, the women that you're working with. And then I was asked to be on the board of Still She Rise. And I love now that it's an opportunity to spread the word about these important organizations that help incite change.
Right. I think that probably everybody who appears on Orange is the New Black, probably, I mean, we interviewers like me and Gino ask these questions because you are, whether you intended to or not, you do become spokespeople because you have an insight and you're going to feel connected.
Totally.
To it.
Do you think that there is, if you could write one prescription for the problem of mass incarceration, do you know what it would be? Because there is obviously a certain percentage of people who society just can't live among. There are, if you watch something like Lock Up Raw or something on NBC, there is a certain percentage of sociopath or psychopathic criminals, which they now call them, who are violent and completely incorrigible, and they can't even follow the rules in prison, and they can't even be with other prisoners. They have to end up in solitary confinement, which then deranges them further because being isolated makes you go insane. Human beings are not meant to be alone. But there is this bigger group of nonviolent offenders who have gone to jail for like drug crimes, you know, marijuana, parking tickets, things like you said. And then they get into the system. They get felonies on their record.
Right. And it's really hard to get out.
Then you can't reintegrate. You can't get a job. You have to write down on every job application for the rest of your life that you were in prison. And you are suddenly ineligible to be a part of the American dream. Do you think there is one thing? If you could wave a magic wand, what would you do?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
About the system?
Yeah, about mass incarceration in general. The money we spend and the waste of human capital and...
You know, I personally am not one to prescribe for mass problems. I'm a big fan of what can every person do. You know, so for example, with Levari, it's like, well, I'm not going to change H&M and I don't want to. I'll create this capsule collection with my filmmaking. I can't change the studio system and the fact that there are only 8% of women behind the camera and 77% of the characters we see on any screen are male. But I can, when I'm producing, hire all women and my crew is more female than male and tell stories about complex women. In reference to the prison system, I will say a couple of things. One is, you know, find ways to give people chances in your personal life. I will say way before I got this job, we were building a house in Harlem and a man came up and said, like, can I help? And my husband said, no, I think we're good. And he's like, you know, please, I'd love to help. I live on the block. And long story short, he had been in prison, had a record, and had a lot of trouble finding work. And it's over 10 years later, and he still works for us. And we gave him a chance. And he is a lovely human being who has made some mistakes. And the system also, you know, it's so hard for Black men in America. We all know that. And it's a biased system. And we've given him a chance. So that's one piece of it. I would say the other piece is education, actually rehabilitating people. We do not actually rehabilitate them. And if anything, all of the services, similar to larger society right now, money is being pulled out of the arts, money is being pulled out of education, money is being pulled out of healthcare.
And money is being pulled out of rehabilitation too, programs. Yeah.
So I think that to me is how do we help rehabilitate these people, educate these people, and then give them services coming out?
Because right.
if the essentially most people coming out of prison leave prison with debt.
Yeah.
So not only can't they get a job, but they're in debt. How and so what are they going to do? They'll go back to crime.
Well, the thing is, you guys showed this in Orange is the New Black. You had one of the lead characters was released from prison and she literally had nowhere to go. I mean, she had like a, I don't know, halfway house, but she went there and they couldn't take her in and she didn't know what to do and how to cope. And she ended up back in prison because she could not make it.
It reminds me of graduating from college. Same experience. You leave with tons of debt and you have no idea what to do.
Yeah.
One last question about Orange is the New Black for the fans out there. Okay, so Caputo and Fig, they're having this affair. And it seems to be a lot of lust. Like it seems to be heavy lust. But do they actually, but they can't seem to stay away from each other. Is it purely sexual or do they actually really like each other? Do you think they're falling in love?
That's such a good question. You know, from Alicia's point of view or from Fig's point of view, what do you want?
Well, I guess from Fig's point of view, because she's the
Fig's
character.
Point of view? Yeah. No, ew.
Oh, she just wants to do it with him.
Exactly.
But why is Alicia's point of view different?
I think Alicia sees the complexity of it and sees she wouldn't keep on showing up if there wasn't some emotional.
So she's in emotional denial.
Yeah.
Okay. Now
she needs therapy.
Definitely. Everybody in that prison needs therapy. Now the other show that you're doing, that's so interesting. And if anyone who's listening has not seen it, you need to start Better Things on FX. And it's about a single mom of three kids. And it's so modern. Like she's living in LA and she's an actress and she's directing.
It's on tonight.
Oh, it's on tonight. Well,
if you wait, we're not.
Well, what
not
night?
In real
like
life.
What?
So it's on Thursday nights at 10 p.m. on FX. If you want to watch the first season, it's on Hulu right now, the whole first season, and we just started season two. And I don't know when this is gonna air, but I'm on Broad City next week as well.
Whoa.
But yeah, which was super super fun. But Better Things. It's such a joy. Pamela is a genius. She writes,
she's
directs,
the actress.
And stars in it.
And it just feels like so relatable because there's lots of women who are divorced and or separated. Or they're just single mothers. And she's got these three kids and they're a handful. One's a teenage girl and she's dating an older guy.
It's the real problems of parenthood.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people liken it to a female version of Louis, where you saw him as, you know,
Louis C.K.
comic. It's hilarious because he seems like a struggling comic, which in real life he's not. But
and lately a little bit.
He's been trying to, you know, and he's trying to be the best dad he can. And it's really very similar or parallel and a female's perspective on it.
Right. And she's just there's lots of ups and downs, mostly downs. Mm-hmm. And you're her closest friend, and you're also about to have a divorce, right? Your marriage is falling apart.
Yeah.
Why is it so hard, do you think, for women, to have romantic happiness? Because, I feel like in Better Things, none of the relationships between men and women are good.
It's not a good story.
Fulfilling. Why is it so hard? But I mean, it is hard in real life. Gina, we've talked about your love life a lot in the other podcasts.
I have a lot of compassion. I have a lot of friends who are single and I have so much compassion for them. I did everything I did not plan to do. I met my husband when I was like in school. I swore I would not marry early. I would not marry an actor. And I did both of those things. And I've been with him like my entire life now, it feels like.
How long have you been married?
Forever. And I still love him. I mean, that's the bottom line, is I'm still madly in love with him. I will say,
see, Gino, it works.
For me, it's work. You know, you have to work at a relationship, at any relationship. And we really work at our relationship on a daily basis.
Do you get comp days or anything? Like that?
I get vacation time. Okay. And I also, like, I believe in sex. Like, I really believe good sex is really important for everybody. And it's like, make the time for it, even if you're married, even if you're busy, even if you have children.
Do you think that's
a big... enjoy sex. Like, sex should be something we all enjoy.
Do you think that's a big issue for a lot of married couples, that they're not having sex enough?
I do. And it really changes everything. Like, I really think it's part of the reason why we're married and happy after all these years.
Is there like a number? Like, do you have to have it at least once, twice a week?
We try for at least twice a week. That's okay, like twice a week. That's our bare minimum.
Do you think there's like a component of sort of like personal self-care maintenance that goes into keeping the sex life alive? Because I don't want to name any names, but I know some couples in my life, friends of mine.
You mean like shaving your legs?
No, like keeping in shape. Like couples who have gotten married and then kind of like let themselves go, and then neither of them felt sexy or really felt the other person was that sexy.
I love, you know what, you brought up a really important point, because for me, I love my husband no matter what, and he'll put on a couple pounds or take off a couple pounds and I don't really care. But he doesn't feel as good about himself when he's a little heavier, and he doesn't want to have sex. I hope,
really,
oh, David,
when he gains weight,
you're okay with all this.
Yeah.
But yeah, men are the same. Men are just as girly
we
as
are
girls.
Let me tell you, we are just as vain.
And oh yeah, oh,
I mean
yeah.
maybe not all
Louis
of us.
Louis C.K.
but...
would say yes to this, and like, and he, like boys, they're the same, and so I think it's a good thing to stay healthy. And what's most important is that you feel good about yourself, because if you really love someone, you kind of don't care. I will say my first boyfriend, oh my God, I can't believe I'm about to tell the story. I
Go
started,
for it.
So had psoriasis, and it was like, I can't tell you.
Like where? Everywhere?
Everywhere, like 70% of his body. And like we would get out of bed and there would be like a half a pound of dandruff in the bed. And now I think back and I kind of want to puke, I have to be honest. But at the time, it didn't bother me at all because I was in love with him. And if you're in love with someone, it just doesn't, like, you don't see it. It's like...
It's yeah, like, love can be blind.
Love is blinding. At that time when I was a teenager, truly, I was blind to his bed full of...
It's like mating
dandruff.
With a snake.
It was. It was intense. But,
Beauty and the Beast.
But I was totally blind to it. And I think that's really true when you're in love. And
But I think what you're saying, too, is that in order to stay in love, like, you can't kind of lapse. You have to put the effort in.
100%.
You have to put emotional effort, that you talk, that you see each other.
Totally.
And you have to make sure that you connect sexually
yeah.
as well.
Touching is really important. I mean, it's important as a parent. It's like the power of touch as a friend, as a lover. I think that's one of the issues that happens in prison, is you're not allowed to touch anyone. And I think
that's really true. I haven't really thought about that.
On a psychological level, that's really, well, you're not allowed to.
There's some involuntary touching happening in prison, from what I hear.
So, in terms of getting married, so you've been married for a long time, and you have a daughter, and your relationship is really good. So why do you think, though, I mean, there aren't a lot of TV shows, though, about happy couples, like Better Things. The relationships aren't good. Like, why do you think so many women are alone? And why is there so much TV about it?
Happiness is not drama, Bonnie. That's not a story.
I think we're interested in seeing sometimes in navigating relationships. And that's really, Better Things is about navigating relationships. And you know, I can just speak to my personal story. In season one, you think I'm happily married, and by the end of season one, you find out my husband's on Tinder.
Oh, great.
And then in season two, I'm dating someone else, and I'm dating someone who seems perfect. So we'll see, you know, we'll see how that goes, because he's everything that my ex-husband isn't. And we'll see how that goes.
How happy are you to have not have missed the whole Tinder dating app?
Like, there are no words.
Tragedy.
It's an utter train wreck. I am.
You must be thrilled.
I sometimes it's sort of like, sometimes you're like, oh, I kind of wish I could try that. Like, I wonder what that's like. But 99.9% of the time, I'm like, I am so glad I missed.
Let me tell you, there is no green grass over here.
I know. I was gonna say, do you think you could ever let things fell apart? Do you think you could ever date again?
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I can't imagine, like, I really very purposefully don't imagine ever being without David.
Why don't you try to break up her marriage? What's going on here?
I know, but I'm sort of in the same boat, because I'm...
Are you married?
I'm married. I've been married for a long time, very happily, and I just can't even imagine.
I know.
Like, having to go out there. Gino tells us about it a lot.
Oh, Bonnie, if anything happens to you.
Tune in next week for Gino's Tinder experiences.
Bonnie, I'll show you.
Well, my daughters have been through it. It's,
I'll show you how to create a profile if something happens, Bonnie. If something goes wrong.
You know, I think about my daughter. And
How old is your daughter?
My daughter's 8, but
She's not going to be on Tinder for a while.
But last week's episode of Better Things, Sam's daughter, who's like 16, was dating a 35-year-old. And when I was 16, I dated a 24-year-old.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? When you were 16, it probably didn't seem that odd. Like, when I was younger and I was in high school,
My parents I was forbidden to see him.
Because there were girls in my high school, like in the later years.
Did you
Yes.
Yeah, so did I.
And they were dating guys in their 20s, and we never really thought it was that creepy. But
I
now
think
we would
creepy,
totally
but
think
my
it was
parents
creepy.
Sure did. Holy guacamole. Yeah. That was the first thing I was forbidden to do, and I didn't listen. It didn't work out too well.
Oh. Okay, so you learned. But I mean, I have to say that I had friends who did it, and we didn't think it was creepy, and they didn't either, and they just sort of had relationships. Now, of course, they'd be arrested and charged.
Right.
Nothing happened to Tyga.
That is crazy. That's crazy to think about.
So, Egg, when can we see Egg?
We're editing it now. So we'll let you know.
Yeah. Okay, not in the theaters, but we can look forward to that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, thank you so much for coming in. Alicia Reiner, Lavari. Go online to
LavariClothing.com.
And then you can take a look at the t-shirts and the clothes. And we'll tune in now and watch Better Things
on FX
Thursdays at 10 o'clock.
And then you can catch up on Hulu. You can catch up on seasons 1 through 5 of Orange and Broad City.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We'll talk later again.
Awesome.
Bye.
Bye.